Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
Oh, Ben Crenshaw, it's finally raining. It actually rained. We got a little water on the grass. My goodness gracious, you probably heard about it, all about it, Ben, you know, and the drought and golf courses with brown fairways and greens all just shredded by the sun. Well, it rained last night. It might rain a little bit more. Let's get the forecast here. Saturday, okay. Partly sunny, windward of Mocha. Occasional showers, a slight chance of thunderstorms in the morning, then scattered showers in the afternoon. That's for Kauai, Oahu, Maui, Molokai, and Lanai. On the leeward side, scattered showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Isolated showers in the afternoon, high about 89 degrees, and the easterlies 15 to 20 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, showers again likely, scattered showers leeward side, a little bit heavier on the windward side, of course. And then if you're playing golf on Sunday, mostly cloudy, scattered showers windward and Mocha, isolated showers on the leeward side. It's still going to be 89 degrees and the low 71 to 76 with the easterlies about 15 miles per hour. Big Island, partly sunny today. On the windward side, showers are likely. Leeward side, in the afternoon, we'll probably get some scattered showers. High, about 88. Northeasterly winds, 15 to 20 miles per hour. And, of course, if you're way up in the mountains, you're really lucky because it's going to get cooler for you. And, of course, I wonder if we've got an eruption yet. It was kind of burbling, and I haven't seen anything on television indicating that. But if it is erupting, what a view you get from Volcano Golf Club. I mean, you're sort of like right across the, I don't know, you know, the lava pit. On the other side of the lava pit, don't slip, is the eruption. It's fabulous to see that. It's absolutely gorgeous. Well, tee time today, there's an 832, 924, 1048. Jack and Jill are on the golf course, Volcano Golf Course. Hapuna, yes, it's a beautiful golf course. We don't have their tee times, but we do have for Makalei an 848, a 916, and a 1022. Swinging skirts, girls, you rock. And we've got at Poipu Bay an 850, an 1110, a 1230. The Weekend Warriors are hitting the greens. Be careful. All right, Kauai Lagoons has an 830, a 913, and a 1028. Oahu, Kapolei, 848, 1008. Pearl at Kalauau, 840, 9 o'clock, 1010. Hawaii Kai, 832, 916. Turtle Bay, 836, 940, 1008. The Windy Beach Boys are playing a round of golf today. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has an 832, a 952, a 1028. Eva Beach Golf Course has an 842, a 918, and a 1030. And Bayview has an 830 and a 930. The Swamp Kings. What? Do you get around, you know, the Stumptish and have a couple brewskis when you make up your name? Swamp. Is there a swamp there? I don't think so. Bayview's a never mind. Hawaii Prince has an 832, a 1006, an 1130. And the Ali'i Club. Now, there's a name. There. Yes, you all have good names. This is awesome. Wailea, 1050, 1120, 1150. Emerald Course has a 1010, 1150. We're on Maui, by the way. Lama Kila, they're on the golf course today. And that is at 1110, 1150. Emerald Course is where the Lama Kila folks are going to be. We have a Lama Kila here, too. And the Blue Course has an 848, or make that a 1040, 1120, and 1150. And the Ohana, they're on the golf course. The whole family went out. Everybody, great-grandma to Itty Bitty Kitties. All right. And finally, yes. Yes, I'm almost done. Maui Nui has an 848, a 1036, and a 1228, and the Dustbusters are on the golf course. So may you all hit the sweet spot every time. And now, Matt Adams, host of Fairways of Life on Golf Channel, syndicated via TV affiliates around the country, available around the world for free on the Fairways of Life YouTube channel, on every audio platform globally, making Fairways of Life the largest golf and news TV show in the world. Yeah, Matt Adams is a New York Times best-selling author, award-winning host on Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio, and golf industry executive. Welcome into the clubhouse, Matt.
Hey, Danielle, how are you?
Good. Are you ready for one of those tea times?
All right, those sound great, to tell you the truth, and the temperatures sound very nice.
Yes. And do you have a group of people that you go out with regularly, and do you all have a name for your group?
There's a couple of them. There's one group called the Early Birds that I can only play. They go out early, like 7:30 every day, frankly. But I can only join him in December when my work slows down. So the rest of the year, I kind of stare out the window like the 5-year-old that's not allowed to go out and play. But that's the way it goes.
That's a great picture. Well, it's a handsome window. I mean, your face. So it's okay. People looking are going, wow, that's a good looking guy.
I don't think so.
So you do a lot. You're an equipment reporter. I love how you make presentations on your show and talk to people about the latest stuff that's available. Golf Central for NBC Sports, Golf Channel, play-by-play host and reporter. That's amazing. You were live weekends at 8 a.m. Eastern around the world via Fairways of Life. Must be interesting doing your show and then working for Golf Channel. Tell us how that works.
Well, I mean, NBC Sports and Golf Channel is my primary job. I'm under contract with them, and we're in the middle of extending right now, which I'm very proud of and very happy with. It's been a long association for me. So the last couple of weeks, I've been hosting Golf Central up at NBC Sports, and it's fun because it keeps my finger on what's going on.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, because it's very intensely involved in whatever is happening. And as you said, you're going to do any highlights and reviews. You're going to have guests on so you can talk about all the kind of current trends and thoughts that are going circling around the game of golf. So I enjoy the diversity. The live coverage that I do is for PGA Tour Entertainment, which is ESPN Plus, PGA Tour Live.
Cool.
And I try to do 1 to 2 a month, but generally 1 if I can, just because of the schedule is busy. But I love that too, because it brings me back to live coverage. And the radio side I do through, the Open. This year it was at Royal Port Rush, and then Women's Open in August. And so I love dabbling in all of it. But it's all, you know, it's kind of unique because in the golf industry, my background is, as you alluded to, was started in equipment manufacturing and greengrass operations, golf course operations. So all of that kind of led me to where I am. I never went to school to be a broadcaster or to be a journalist or anything like that. I'm a golf guy, an old broken down golf guy. And it's because the media side just sort of took over about 10 or 15 years ago. And so I've been able to be kind of immersed with that. And so, I mean, especially this time of year, as we march towards the, you know, the final couple months, for me, that the biggest emotion that I have, one is of amazement and wondering why, but the other one is just gratitude, because I really enjoy what I'm doing. And I always say to people, you know, especially young people that are interested in getting into media or broadcasting in particular, my advice to them is be an expert at something. It almost doesn't matter what it is, just be an expert at something. And nowadays, with what you can learn online, et cetera, you can pretty much become an expert at whatever you want. I had a young person one time say to me that they wanted to do, you know, be involved in football broadcasting, American football broadcasting. And I said, well, become an expert of something. What do you think that would be? And they said, what about knee injuries? I said, great, brilliant.
Yes.
Interview doctors, do everything you can, because sooner or later they're going to need somebody on their staff that's a knee expert, and then that is your opportunity to shine. The hard part it is breaking in non-traditional ways. It's like stepping up the base and you have to hit a grand slam. But if that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. That's now you know. Do it.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of my advice to young people that want to follow a similar path that maybe haven't gone down a traditional path, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're, you know, if your job in the beginning is picking up pencils, pick them up really good and hand them nicely.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I started in the mailroom at ESPN.
There you go.
When I first got into broadcasting out of college before I shifted back into the golf industry. I was in the mailroom, and I loved it. I loved the exposure. I loved meeting different people. And, you know, it's all part of the journey. But it's like you're saying, if you have the humility to be willing to do the jobs that nobody else will, to grunt it out, then hang in there. I've always felt in my profession, I'm constantly told how talented people are, which I always think is a bit of a misnomer, to be fair. I don't think it takes particular talent to do what we do. I think to last in any broadcast medium, and I bet you could attest to this, you're saying, it's far more important to be tenacious. Tenacity is more important than talent. So I hope that I compete against the most talented people in the world, because I tend to find that they carry with them an entitlement and laziness, whereas tenacity just wants to do whatever it takes, picking up that pencil you referenced or otherwise.
Yes.
And that's the thing that makes you laugh.
Yes, it is, actually. I'm talking with Matt Adams. Fairways of Life is the name of his show, but he's on Golf Channel. I mean, his show is on Golf Channel Plus. He's working on Golf Channel. He's also a multiple New York Times best-selling author. His 12th book is The Golf Round I'll Never Forget. 50 of golf's biggest stars recall their finest moments. Are you working on a book now?
You know, I'm not actively working on a title, but I think anyone that writes books is always working on a book. You know, there's always thoughts and emotions running through your head. Like, one of the things that I'm seriously thinking about doing, maybe, I don't know if it's a lifetime goal or if it's in the near future, I just don't know. But I'm thinking about doing a book that chronicles every single major, every one of them, from 1860 and the first one, the Open, to the whatever the last one was, to the moment that the book gets published. But that's what I'm kind of thinking about right now. And we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, that would be great. I would like that book. I'm fascinated with the history of golf and the people playing and what they used and what they wore and the golf courses they were playing on and how they played them then. That's a really good idea. Really good. Now, you are also, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, a gear guy. I was watching golf broadcaster Matt Adams. He hosts the Fairways of Life show on Golf Channel. And you talked about FlightScope Mevo Gen 2.
Yes.
And, I mean, you didn't hold back on your excitement. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, the unique thing, I'll tell you specifically about that, but the philosophy in what I do is that I'm not setting out to do a review of product. There's plenty of people online that will tell you whether they think a product is good or they think a product is bad. I'm not trying to impart my opinion on anyone as to whether a product is right for them or not. What I try to do is I try to explain how the technology works in that particular piece of equipment so you can make a decision if that's something that you think you need for your game, because we're at a point in the industry now where golf equipment, you can go out and pay for a driver and you'll pay more for that than you will a refrigerator.
Thank you.
Right? When that happened, the game fundamentally shifted.
Mm-hmm.
When a driver became more expensive than a consumer good, like a washing machine or, as I mentioned, a refrigerator or otherwise, it shifted the game. So what I want people to do is I want you to have the curiosity of what is it and why is it. Step outside of the market and try to understand what that technology is. Do the research and then do the comparative so that you know. In other words, go to a place where they're going to say, oh, you're going to hit that driver, hit these three as well. And let us try these different shafts for you, et cetera, so that, A, you're fit for the product that is right for you and you get the actual data to make sure that it is performing and is best for you and what your game needs. So, yeah, so when Mevo came out with a Gen 2 Plus by FlightScope, basically what it is that you can, you know, simulators and launch monitors are expensive as all get out. And this is one that they came out with that's in the vicinity of $1,200 and change. And that was the thing that drew me to it initially, to say, okay, I'm not saying that $1,200 isn't expensive, but I am saying that $1,200 is a fraction of what you'd pay for anything comparable. Mm-hmm. And if you're a person that loves numbers, and many people are, if you're a person that likes to just get into everything, your launch angle, you name it, spin rate, I could go on and on and on because there's so many parameters,
right,
then it's a brilliant piece for that. And or you could put it in, say, this time of year as it's getting cold in most places, Danielle, right? You could put it in a garage, you could put it in your basement, you could put it in a spare room, and it becomes an indoor simulator as well. Or, as I was alluding to, you could use it as a launch monitor outside and have it on your phone or your iPad or what have you with the data.
Yeah.
So that's what drew me to it. That's why I thought it was incredibly cool, because I know there's a lot of people that want that tour-level experience of data coming back to them, and this is a device that's within reach for many that can do it.
Yeah, and they probably have to learn what the data means before they actually can use it.
In some cases, when you're talking about things like smash factor and, as I mentioned, angle of attack, and there's various things that people hear and go, you know, I don't really know what that means. But once you do know, and once you start to track it, see, that's one of the things that's happening with the game right now, where people look at it and go, you know, the best players in the world are hitting the ball too far. And they compare it to players in prior generations. In prior generations, a player would get ahead, they'd get a shaft, because what happens now is because of the way that it's done through CAD systems, and because of the way that the digital printing of products, et cetera, that can be taken into account, we can make multiple heads. In the old days, because they were made from metal tooling, and usually they were cast tooling, depending on whether it was an iron, for example, or a driver that may have still been built in welded pieces, you might get 10, and that would be a massive production run for prototypes, right, for samples. Usually it was a lot less than that. So a player's going out there, and he's trying them, he's hitting them. I remember talking to Nick Faldo, and I said, what was that transition like for you? He said, well, we didn't have anything to test. We didn't know anything. We would pick the club up, and we would hit it, and we would see what its reaction was, right? And the ball told us what was going on. He said, so my first Metalwood that he won an open with, I can't remember which one, but I guess it would be 92, but I can't remember. He said, I hit the driver. It was a metal driver, and the ball just bounded down the fairway. And so it gives you an example. So I don't know whether that would work everywhere, because if it's really soft, it might have stuck. I don't know.
Yeah.
But on the hard fairways of Lynx Golf Course, and I believe it was the opening to tell me, because I was more concentrating on the story of him testing his driver, which to me really didn't work. But it worked in the circumstance of the time of that particular tournament. But that was what these guys used to go through. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you could test until you get it right. And even like with the wedges, back in the day when everything was stamped, right, you have a forged club. These forged clubs were close, but they weren't always 100% the same as the one that pumped out before them. So if you had a player that loved a wedge, well, wedges wear out. Even today, people should be replacing their wedge no more than every 2 to 3 years. But some, you know, you play with somebody and the grip on it is like a garden hose and the face looks like it has no grooves, and they tell you it's their favorite wedge they've ever played. Well, there's no bite left. He's like, I had trouble getting spin on this. I'm thinking, well, there's no way you can get spin on that. It's like hitting it with a shovel. But nowadays, you've got these players like Adam Scott, for example. He can go in and get fresh wedges before every tournament he plays, and they are the exact same. You know, it's exactly what to expect, the bounce, everything, the edge on it, whatever the grind is on it that he prefers, it's identical. So there's so many reasons that today's players, training, etc., coaching, are hitting it better and playing better than ever before in the history of the game. Equipment has a great deal to do with it, but it's not all of it. There's a lot of other factors.
Yeah, and a lot of time spent making sure that you know all the things that you need to know to determine whether or not you've got the perfect club for yourself and that you're using it right. Yes, it's a commitment, absolutely. Speaking of commitments, Tiger Woods. We were all looking forward to seeing him soon, we hoped, on the Champions Tour. So now he's had his seventh surgery. Actually, now this is where it gets removing his, you know, natural discs and replacing them with fabricated discs, whether it's titanium, I don't know what kind of material they're using. It's a really difficult surgery to recover. It takes a long time. I know this because a doctor told me all about it. So what are your thoughts on Tiger actually coming back and playing on the Champions Tour?
Well, there's a couple thoughts. First of all, to your comment about we were wondering and waiting, that started with the PNC. Would we see him out there teeing it up again with his son Charlie just a few weeks down the road, right? There was the question of would we see him at the Hero as we that's become an annual wondering event. Would we see him at the Masters? Would we see him when eligible to play on the Champs Tour? Would we see him attempting to beat Bobby Jones' USGA championship record by winning the U.S. Senior Open? All these questions that were kind of floating out there. And then Tiger, through his own media, right? Tiger is one that is so big that he can release his own news release without having to rely upon traditional media. It happened to hit for us. We were about 2 minutes to going on the air on Golf Central when he released that on his social media, which, as you can imagine, changes the whole rundown. Everything gets diverted.
Yes.
So my thought on it all is that I wonder if we're at a point where hope has replaced any other sense, expectation, the waiting as we just described it or otherwise. Are we at a point where the only thing we have left with Tiger is the hope that he can recover enough to play halfway decent so he can do some of these things so that we get to watch him swing a club one more time? The interesting thing about the back surgery is when he had that first major back surgery that took out the discs and basically sealed that part of the spinal column.
Yeah.
Lanny Watkins was on with me, and Lanny said to me, he goes, Matty, I had the same surgery.
Oh,
he
my.
He said, the problem that you have after that surgery is it fixes that area, right? It seals it. It can't move. It's locked down. He said, but it moves the pressure above and below it. And wouldn't you know it, this L4, L5 that Tiger had operated on,
Yeah. It's
above the operation site previously. So it's doing exactly what somebody that had been down that same road said would happen with Tiger Woods. So I just think that's an interesting thing in terms of status and in terms of progression for Tiger. But no, I mean, I'm glad that he views it as a right decision for his health, the way that paraphrasing it, but it was in those lines.
Yeah.
But I don't see it as good news at all for anybody that was hoping to see Tiger Woods swing a golf club soon, or hoping that Tiger somehow, whether it be the Achilles or whether it be the leg damage in the car accident or whether it be the oft-operated on back, was hoping that Tiger somehow magically would get better and get back to some form that maybe he even had as late as, say, 2019 when he won the Masters, that maybe there was still some magic left. But I don't know. I think that's a really, really hard ask right now, where it seems like his body continues to break down. And I'm not trying to cast him as a victim here either. I mean, much of Tiger's injuries, I think, are of his own making, but that doesn't diminish him.
Yeah, you know, and when you do something repetitively over a long period of time, it wears on the internal parts of your body in addition to whatever else, right? And things start to break down because of that. And, you know, it's cause and effect. So you did something and there's your effect. So I'm just really amazed at how well he takes these things and how that it is his incredible self-confidence and fortitude and desire and, you know, never give up. That's something that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say the part that I think is really cool about it is that if you look at kind of history's guide, right, the one we compare him to with Jack Nicklaus, Jack was in his early 40s, and he basically kind of walked away from the competitive game. Still competed in the big events, et cetera, but he had his business interests, et cetera. You look at another one that was world number one forever, and Greg Norman, that did the same thing, kind of still stayed competitive, but didn't quite have the same competitive focus and edge, even by their own account, because he became a very successful businessman outside of it. Tiger never lost that spark.
Mm-mm.
To Tiger's credit, he never not wanted to compete and be the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, it's honestly, I'll tell you, it's almost eye-rolling, but even today, you have Tiger at any press conference before any event, and a journalist will inevitably ask, Tiger, why are you here? Is this kind of ceremonial? Is this, you know, reliving some memories? And Tiger will look at him and succinctly answer it with great drama. I'm just here to win.
I'm here to win.
I wouldn't show up unless I was here to win. And that's what I mean about the eye roll, because you kind of look at it and go, okay, we all buy into it. We're all like, maybe it's Tiger, never, you know, the whole never count him out, and maybe, you know, he's got one more in him, or maybe this is the time he defies all the odds because he's Tiger. And then invariably, I love this part, he misses the cut, and then Tiger will stand before the same journalist and goes, guys, come on, I just had my back operated. What are you stressing?
Yep.
My biggest laugh.
Matt Adams, so good talking with you. Thank you so much.
Always good, Daniel. Thank you so much for giving me the time.
Absolutely. Matt Adams, host Fairways of Life on Golf Channel, syndicated by TV affiliates around the country and available around the world for free on the Fairways of Life YouTube channel. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me?
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
It is Aloha Power's week-long sale. Yeah, it's time to retire those old big box tools. Maybe they've lost their je ne sais quoi. Maruyama is on sale, up to 25% off. They don't usually go on sale. Maruyama is on sale, up to 25% off. Riding and walking mowers, chainsaws, whackers, trimmers, and a whole lot more. And we've got service, parts, accessories for every rider, from home to commercial sized. You just mow it, blow it together, bag it, and then you're done. You get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Aiea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe, and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Jonathan Wall, Golf Digest, Managing Equipment Editor, Gear Column. It's called Wall to Wall Equipment, formerly PGA Tour Equipment Editor, and Golf Magazine, golf.com. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mr. Golf Digest.
Hey, Danielle, it's always good to talk to you.
Hey, it's good to hear your voice again. My goodness, way too long, way too long. I've got to go straight into something. You know, I think it was John Rahm. Other people have said it, but I think it was John Rahm who said it most recently about a short backswing gives you a longer distance in the shot. maybe Tony Finau and John Rahm were talking about it recently. Can you talk to about that a little bit? What, you know, that short backswing, or do you even agree with them?
I have to say that I do, because I experienced this when I was playing competitively in amateur golf. I had a really long backswing, like a lot of junior golfers did at the time, because everybody thinks that the longer that you pull the club back, the more momentum you're going to be able to gather on the way through. In actuality, you come to find out that that's not really the case. That if you're more efficient with your backswing and keeping it tight, it's a great way to be able to generate a lot of power. Now, the key here is, Danielle, is learning how to harness that power, because when you go short, a lot of golfers tend to want to just push the club through really fast and time it up, and it takes a lot of reps to be able to get that Tony Finau or John Rahm-esque backswing. I mean, those guys do that day in, day out. It's so difficult to get that timing. But when you do, you find out that it's a lot more efficient bringing it down and through. You have fewer moving parts, I would say. So I do. I agree with it. I think it's a great way to improve your game. But again, you just have to be realistic with the timing of it. If this sounds like something that you would want to do, you've got to get with a good instructor. You need to really spend the time doing it. It's not something that you're going to be able to do in just a couple of practice sessions.
Got it. And you know, what you said is it takes time. Everything does. But in this particular case, it's maybe more of a finesse thing. You know, you've got to really learn how to take it back and then to really drive forward. And my question became in my mind as I'm listening to your explanation, which was perfect, is, you know, at some point, your body, because it's not accustomed to repetition, you've got to also learn when not to continue. Like, you've got to give yourself a break so you don't hurt yourself.
Oh, for sure. And I think that the one thing that a lot of golfers struggle with is learning how to sync up their body. You know, we watch a lot of the pros, and you see them, they bring the club back, and their first move as they're going down is, as that club's starting to go back down towards impact, you're watching their hips rotate. And they, I mean, a lot of the really, you know, I'm thinking of like the Rorys of the world, who have that sort of movement in their hips. You know, they spend a lot of time in the gym, which, you know, again, the average amateur golfer just doesn't have that time to dedicate to the gym to spend really stretching your body out. And so everybody, you know, and this is just me as somebody who's been in the industry, I find it really difficult to tell a golfer in their 40s or 50s, hey, you know, really work on making that first move, getting your hips open, because, you know, you're going to wreck your back if you do that, if you're not spending the additional time in the gym stretching out and working on strengthening your core. So I would say, again, if you're looking at trying to you know, shorten that backswing up and find a way to really tighten up your swing, you need to really learn how to make that transition. And it's going to probably be a bit more of like the club coming down and the hips just starting to rotate through, but it's going to feel a bit more in unison versus a lot of the pros out there, because again, that move is so difficult. And quite honestly, if you look at the trend that's going on tour right now, a lot of these young guys are struggling with back issues. You look at Will Zalatoris and what he's gone through with the herniated disc. It is so difficult to make that move over and over and over again, not just in competition, but in practice. You have to be able to learn how to do it efficiently. I liken it a lot to what we're seeing in baseball right now. A lot of guys throwing 100 miles an hour, but we're seeing a lot more elbow issues early on. Again, because these guys are throwing so hard that, yes, I think a lot of them have the raw power. They just don't know how to harness it. So again, you really have to work on other areas of your game to be able to reap the benefits of a shorter swing and being able to time it up. But use your lower body. That's the most important thing I will say. Use your lower body to start the swing and generate that power. It's not going to come from your arms.
You're talking about your legs?
Yeah, lower body? The area that nobody really wants to use. Everybody wants to use their arms. You know, they think that how you generate power. It's just, again, baseball and golf are very similar in that
the best hitters, you notice that they utilize their trunk, their core, their lower body. They yeah. use it so well and efficiently. And that's how they're able to generate power. They're not using their upper body and their arms to get the baseball bat there. It's the same thing in golf. Use your lower body, use your core, and you're going to see a lot more distance out of your game instead of just trying to rip at it with your hands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In the beginning, when I would pick up something heavy, you know, I wouldn't notice it. But the more you tighten your muscles in your stomach area, you know, you just then you feel all of a sudden they're acting. Those muscles are helping you. They're not just there.
The thing is it helps you in every yes. phase of your life, you know, by strengthening your core and your back. These are areas that you're going to be using, you know, hopefully into your 60s, 70s, and 80s. The longer you're able to keep these muscles in use and keep them strong, that's going to help you live a much happier and healthier life. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, we just heard about Tiger Woods having another back surgery. You know, Tiger was sort of the poster child for this new wave of, you know, golfers who were in the gym, you know, regularly. And you just have to wonder how much of those trainings that he was going through, how much that exacerbated some of these injuries that he had that he fought through. I don't even think we know the full extent of the surgeries that Tiger has gone through over the course of his career. But again, I'm not saying that he didn't strengthen his back and his core. I'm just saying that, you know, for a regular average amateur golfer, doing that is going to allow you to play longer. It's going to keep those back issues away. And that's what's going to, again, make you happier and let you play more golf.
Yeah, exactly. I asked my first guest, Matt Adams, what he thought about whether, you know, we were all kind of like, oh, good, he's going to be playing on the Champions Tour. We're going to see Tiger. Do you think he'll be, you know, playing on the Champions Tour? What's your gut telling you?
Danielle, I don't think so. I really had a hard time wrapping my head around Tiger playing any sort of a full schedule, even a Champions Tour schedule. I could see him showing up and maybe trying to play the majors just simply because he's one of the most competitive people on the planet.
Yeah.
And I still think he wants to try and compete. But now that he's had this last surgery, you know, I look at, like, what is best for Tiger in this situation. Selfishly, as a golf fan, I want to see Tiger on the golf course. But at the same time, you know, his body's been through so much that you have to say, well, you know, when is enough enough? When should he just be a golf ambassador, you know, and just be able to have a good quality of life? And I think I'm there. You know, I've kind of battled it in my mind, but I do. I think he'd be better off being a golf ambassador now for the game. I think he would be great at it. Mm-hmm. He's already started to do it in some ways, but I just, you know, he's done so much. I don't really know if there's much that he could do at this point, and I don't think he can compete competitively in the major championships on the PGA Tour. I don't even know if he could do it on the Champions Tour, mm-hmm. but I just think for his health long term, I think he'd be better off just hanging him up and, you know, again, being an ambassador for the game.
Yeah, you know, if he would just stand up and wave and we all go, yeah!
Right.
But I know, you know, there's the, you know, the boxer in him, you know, the guy that wants to get in the ring and prove everybody I'm just as bad as I was before, you know. And the body is the body in this, yeah, it, boy. Now, here's something. You're a gearhead, right, Jonathan Wall?
Just a little bit.
So, Tommy Fleetwood and the mini driver, is that a good thing to go with, or is that something we should stay away from because we're not ready for it?
So here's how I've changed my tune on this club, Danielle.
Okay.
You know, I think initially when I saw it, I was like a lot of golfers who was highly skeptical. This is a golf club that's probably been out on tour for the better part of about 8 years now. And it started as a golf club that I remember first seeing for the very first time. Callaway brought one out at Harbortown for the RBC Heritage. And if you're familiar with Harbortown, it's probably next to Colonial. It's probably the tightest golf course that they play all season long. Very, very precise landing areas. You really can't bomb driver around there. So you see a lot of guys hitting three woods and long irons, and it's a little bit like this golf course that they're playing in India this week.
Oh, yeah.
That we've seen pictures of that looks like something out of a golfer's nightmare, yeah. You know, these really tight fairways.
Yes.
You know, Rory didn't hit, you know, left his driver in the locker this week. So there are these golf courses that you need a specialized club for, and that was when they brought the mini driver out because, you know, for Callaway, they said, well, hey, look, we can do this club. It's going to be less than a driver. TaylorMade had one in their SLDR going years back, and it was just a really good golf club. It was shorter than a driver, smaller head, but it still provided the forgiveness. I just thought, you know, really, okay, I could understand it could be good for pros, but really, does an amateur golfer need this golf club? They can use a three-wood. We've actually run some robotic testing with driver, a mini driver, a three-wood, and a high lofted fairway, just to kind of see like what is it about this golf club that could benefit an average golfer. And what I've learned is that it's actually not that much longer than your three wood. And again, we run these tests at about 90 miles an hour, which is an average golfer swing speed. And so we said, okay, well, there's not a lot of a distance gain to be had with this golf club, but the thing that it does is it has a huge bump in forgiveness compared to a three wood, meaning that if you are somebody who's inconsistent with your contact, whether you hit it out of the heel area or the toe, this golf club is going to make your misses more in line with your shots that are coming out of the center. So you're losing less distance. And I think that's what a lot of golfers need nowadays. They don't really need extra distance. They just need a golf club that if they hit it 240 or 250 out of the middle on a good shot, that they hit it about 235 or 232 on a heel or toe miss. That's what you're looking for, something that kind of tightens up those misses, and that's what we see with the mini. And I really like this golf club. I have one in the bag. I swear by it now. I've used it just as my only club, as my, you know, instead of a driver off the tee, kind of similar to what Rory's doing this week. And I do. I think it's a great golf club for amateur golfers simply because the shaft is shorter. So that means that you don't have, we talked about shortening up your swing.
Yeah.
With a shorter shaft, it's going to be easier to return the club closer to square at impact, kind of similar to a three wood. But again, it has a deeper face. It looks a little bit more driver-esque. And I do. I think it's a great golf club, especially if you struggle to just hit fairways off the tee with a driver. Mini driver could be a great option.
Awesome. That's great. That's such good information. I really appreciate that. It's been way too long since you've been on the show. Way too long. I'm going to have to knock on your door a lot more often, okay? I mean, if you say I can't, I totally understand. No problem. But I'm going to just knock on your door and say, do you got time?
Just send me a text like you always do, and I'll hopefully be able to make it happen. Like I always told you, the only thing that keeps me from being on the show is having sports games for my kids.
Yes,
which it feels like dominates my weekend.
Yes,
it's
of course.
Great to talk to you.
Exactly. Now you got two girls, and you're going to coach them. It's basketball.
Well, yes. My oldest daughter's 13. She plays basketball. We have a son who plays baseball, and a youngest daughter who I help coach their softball team, which we have two games today. We have doubleheader, and one of them is if we win it, we're going to be regular season champs.
So wow!
It's a big game.
Oh, okay. You better get going. Get out the door.
Thanks, Danielle.
Thank you. Jonathan Wall, Golf Digest Managing Equipment Editor. He's got a gear column. It's called Wall to Wall. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
We're going to have a partly sunny day today here on Oahu and Kauai and Maui, Molokai, Lanai. It's going to be partly sunny windward and Mauka. Occasional showers, a slight chance of thunderstorms, at least in the morning. And then scattered showers this afternoon. On the leeward side, scattered showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Isolated showers in the afternoon. High 89. Easterlies 15 to 20 miles per hour. It always feels a little bit cooler when the cloud cover is there, right? Big Island, yes, today, partly sunny, windward, showers likely, leeward, scattered showers in the afternoon. The high 88, northeasterly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. And speaking of the Big Island, if you are inclined to go play golf at Volcano Golf Club, the volcano is bubbling. And the reason I say this is because, you know, it's right across from Volcano Golf, and the lava wouldn't come toward you. You know, it rarely goes above 1,000 feet, but still, it's far enough away for you just to just gawk at it, just being like, oh, my word, that is incredible. And you can, you know, experience the eruption and then go play a round of golf. I think you'd have a great time. Volcano Golf Club has an 8:32, a little late to that, 9:24, 10:48. And Makalei, if you're going to stay sea level, 8:48, 9:16, 10:22. Let's pick up Kauai Lagoons, 8:30, 9:13, 10:28. On Oahu, we've got so much open. Hawaii Kai has an 8:32. Pearla Kalaau'au has an 8:40. It's spectacular condition. They spent a year doing changes to it. It's just beautiful. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has an 8:32, 10:28. There's a 10:30 at Ewa Beach Golf Course. On Maui, we've got at Wailea on the, let's see, Gold Course, 11:20. On the Emerald Course, we have an 11:50. The Blue Course, an 11:50. And whatever, wherever you're playing, may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Okay, and now, Robert Kolias, calling in from Maui. Maui news journalist. Actually, he was the Maui news journalist now, and we're going to learn all about it. He's a completely different kind of setup. Maui news journalist, yes, he is a journalist. He's author, Kapalua Water Fight, Maui Nui Hall of Fame sports curator, sports writer Robert Kolias, a 34-year-old veteran of the Maui News, was named at that time Hawaii Sports Writer of the Year by the National Sports Media Association. So now he's in a different kind of setup. Let's welcome him into the clubhouse. It's not his first time. Robert Colias, welcome.
Hi, Danielle. What a nice introduction. I hope my kids are listening. And I worked 34 years at the Maui News. I wish I was 34 years old.
Oh,
but yeah.
Well, I said you're a 34-year veteran of the Maui News.
Yeah. Right, there you go. I now work for Hawaii Journalism Initiative, and we're a nonprofit arm of MauiNow.com, which is a big online presence here on Maui, news presence here on Maui.
All right. Now, Maui News Initiative.
MauiNow.com. And the arm, the page that I work for on MauiNow.com is Hawaii Journalism Initiative.
Thank you. All right. I had to write it all down because all these words start going right through me, and I forget where I've been and where I'm going.
I know the feeling.
All right. I've got to ask you, you know, we're all dealing with the drought, but it seems like Maui is getting more of a drought problem than most of us.
Yeah, I was just up a little bit. I like to get up and read some of the news nationally and locally, of course, and upcountry Maui right now is under water restrictions because of the drought conditions. So, yeah, man, we pray for rain. We need to get out there and do a rain dance.
Yes.
You and me, Danielle.
Yes. And, you know, seriously, I've been waiting for it to rain. I woke up this morning, came downstairs to, you know, get in the car to come to the studio, and wow, it rained. It rained. It was...
Right?
Yes. I was thrilled that it rained. Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels so good. You know, the whole air clears. Everything feels better. Like, wiped out the old stuff, in with the new stuff. And
I agree.
I just don't know. Has there in history, I know Oahu's had a drought situation many, 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 like 30, 40 years ago. Where it was like, when's it going to rain? When was the last time it was like this for Maui?
Well, depending on the area of the island, this is about a 95 to a 100 year drought condition, and you know, so it's bad, but we're trying to work through it. Certainly, was an overriding factor in the PGA Tour's decision to. Call off the Century tournament at Kapalua Plantation Course, and I was in preparation for this interview, Danielle. I broke that story back in September, but since then we have now gotten down to 82 days until. January 8th, which is the scheduled first round of the Century. And now the PGA Tour is still holding out hope that they're not saying that, the event won't be played at all this year, which would be pretty unprecedented other than COVID as far as canceling a PGA Tour event.
The season kicker offer, yeah.
Yeah, especially the season opener. Yeah, exactly. So they are still, the company line with the PGA Tour is that they are still looking for a suitable place. I don't think that place exists in the state of Hawaii. And keep in mind that, the Sony Open in Hawaii at Waialae Country Club is the next week, and really... those two events are tied at the hip. Not that the Sony is in any danger of not being played, but the fact if the Century is not played, it certainly won't be played at Kapalua. We know that absolutely. That's a big blow to the Sony already. I went back and reviewed some of my reporting. 34 guys of the 59 in the field here on Maui, you know, in January of 2025. So this year, went and played in the Sony. And we're talking about the guys that qualify for the Century are the top 50 in the FedEx Cup playoffs, and then anyone else who didn't make the top 50 who happened to be a PGA Tour winner. So 59 guys made the field last year here. 34 of those guys, you know, the best top guys in the world, went and played in the Sony. So that's not going to happen if the Century event is played. My guess would be California, maybe Arizona, maybe Las Vegas type of place. But it's got to be somewhere that's got good weather and a suitable golf course from January 8th to 11th. So, you know, we're 82 days from January 8th, and that's a very short time to try and put on an event like that and have all the golfers say, oh, yeah, I'll come. But, you know, at this point, I got to believe that the guys who have qualified for that event have pretty much written it off.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised because, as one person said on the show a couple of weeks ago, trying to find a golf course that has places where these guys can hit their driver 300 yards plus, those golf courses really don't exist.
Right.
Because they, you know, they're hitting it so far. You know, who builds golf courses like that anymore? It's a lot of land. Yeah. So it's definitely an issue. And for Sony, it's more expensive for them. They used to, I think, share the cost of the equipment, the TV stuff that comes in. So that, you know, so yeah. And, you know, and it's really hard on everybody.
It really is.
But yeah. But Century has so marched up to the plate and said, you know what, we're going to give whatever it is, $768,000. I just made that number up. I know it's over.
Right around there.
Yeah.
Around 770.
Yeah. And we're going to make sure all of the people who have normally gotten some of the money, you know, for their nonprofits or for school, this and that, we're going to do it. And we're not giving up on Hawaii. We're not going to not come back again just because we're not there a year. I mean, you talk about class. That's That
you know, Danielle, I met Pete McPartland, Stephanie Smith, and all of the Century folks when they came here in 2018. And let's keep in mind, this event has been here continually since 1999, with several different title sponsors, most of them car manufacturers, and they were all great. They did a great job, but you know, they usually, those contracts would run maybe five years or so, and often less.
Right, it's usually four.
Times, yeah. I mean, a couple times they had to force the Seoul Broadcasting System, which was the backup sponsor, into, you know, becoming the title sponsor. That happened twice because the car manufacturer said, yeah, we're not doing it next year. But Century came in 2018. They learned the lay of the land, if you will. They really, you know, the first couple years, they sat back and you know, obviously provided the money, but really observed what Maui is all about. And then, you know, they committed, and then they committed again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And they're committed to the Century Tournament through 2035. And that is an unprecedented run, first of all. And, you know, they added 10 years on a few years back.
Yeah.
To make it that 2035 number. And that's just an unprecedented step. And you know, they're honest. When Stephanie Smith and Pete McPartland, Pete is the CEO, Stephanie is the president or something similar to that language.
Mm-hmm.
They're the top two people at Century Insurance. And, you know, they say, hey, Maui is our second home. Stevens Point, Wisconsin is where their company is based. They have a really good golf course on property, by the way, where their corporate buildings are. They've adopted Maui. And when they say that, you know, that's easy enough to say. But the evidence is that that's true. They've given over $3 million for just out, straight out of their pocket, not raised, you know, money from the tournament or anything like that for nonprofits. $3 million to Maui fire survivors and programs like Keiki Mental Health.
Yes.
And stuff like that.
Yes.
So when they say that Maui is their second home, they mean it.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
Yes, they do. We feel the same way about Maui as we do about Stevens Point when it comes to home. You know,
yeah,
when they're here, they're home. When they're home. And that's, you just don't find people, in the business that take that so seriously and feel so deep. And that's wonderful. But I want to take it one step. Then the lawsuit started happening, you know?
Yeah.
Maui Land and Pineapple filed a countersuit in the escalating legal battle over water on the Valley Isle. That's straight from one of your articles. The company claims Thai Management, owner of the Kapalua golf courses, spread misinformation on water use after allegedly ignoring irrigation restrictions for months. The countersuit comes after the golf course, together with farmers and homeowners, sued Maui Land and Pineapple in August, claiming the company did not maintain the water system they depend on. So, where do we stand with this he said, she said situation?
Well, very much there.
Right there still, huh?
It's lawsuit, counter lawsuit. It's a ditch system that Maui Land and Pine owns and is, you know, obligated to maintain. They claim they have PY Management. That's Tadashi Yanai. If that name is familiar to anyone, that's the man who is a Japanese billionaire, the owner, founder of Uniqlo, UNIQLO, stores.
Yeah.
And, he bought the Kapalua Plantation course back in, I think, 2000 or so for $50 million. From Maui Land and Pine, by the way. It's just, it's developed into a very much he said, she said type of thing. There were allegations that to water the plantation course, well water was being used. Now, that's not good. That's not kosher.
No.
Because well water is drinkable water. It's supposed to be non-potable or potable. I'm not sure exactly the pronunciation, but it's supposed to be water that you can't drink but can grow grass.
Yes.
And, the restrictions were in place before the first lawsuit was filed. The restrictions were basically zero for about 5 months, and we got to the point where, and we're talking about, you know, the state, the county, the Hawaii Water Service, which is a branch of folks, an organization that says right now we're looking at the drought conditions, and right now, you know, tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four. Tier four is zero water. Tier three is like 30% water usage, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So there's so many levels to all of this. And, for 5 months before the lawsuit was filed in August 18th, the restrictions were basically zero. And you can Google it. It's easy to see. You can look at my stories or, very easily find these pictures of very brown, you know, bird's eye view pictures of the plantation course.
Yes.
And, you know, I talked to Mark Rolfing, a good friend of your and mine, golf analyst for the Golf Channel and NBC Sports. And his point was, how did we let it get this bad before we found the necessity to file a lawsuit, which I very much agree with that statement.
Yes.
But, you know, now they canceled the event at Kapalua. I should be very clear because I said the word canceled in one of my stories, and the PGA Tour didn't really like that wording because, again, the company line right now is...
Yes, they're trying to get it someplace else.
Yeah, they're still looking for somewhere else, but I just don't think at this point that is possible because of the timing. It takes a lot of TV, a lot of everything, and getting the commitment from the golfers at this point, which I think would be a big part of it. But anyway, so we're talking about getting to that point, and now I have not personally been out there. But I talked to a lot of folks out there. Now the grass is green.
No kidding.
Yeah. Now, do I know if it's playable up to PGA Tour standards? I do not. But, it you know, from a bird's eye view, it looks good.
Wait a second.
I'm told.
How did it get green? Did somebody water it?
Yeah, they've been watering with, you know, under the restrictions, but they diverted the water from the bay course that they would have used there.
Oh, right.
So they're able to use that water for the plantation course.
Okay.
And, from what I'm told, it looks pretty good.
Well,
I don't know if it's playable yet, but from what I'm told, it looks good.
Yeah. Well, it's just incredible. The Supreme Court at one point, as you point out in your articles, it was a two decades long court battle over the water in Central Maui. And it finally came to an end with the Supreme Court saying, hey, Water Commission, you got to be more proactive, you know, and then Maui County confirming that it's interested in buying the water distribution system that's been supplying the West Side for more than a century. Is that just the system that's like falling apart?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know,
okay.
We're talking about the Honokohau ditch system, and it's very old, and but there's a lot of people that depend on it. Homeowners,
sure.
Farmers, Hawaiian, you know, cultural practitioners, homesteaders, and the golf courses. So
more,
it's
even more reason why they should have taken care of it from the get-go. You know, you don't let something fall apart that is so vital to so many entities. It's just weird.
Yeah, and at this point, it's a very complex, complicated mess of lawsuits at this point.
Wow. Well, Robert Kolias, I so appreciate the time you've spent with me to kind of put it all together. And I can't wait to talk to you again. You'll have to tell me when you've got time.
And you'll call me anytime. It's an honor to be on your show. I'm available any Saturday morning you need me.
Thank you. Robert Kolias, Maui Now Initiative. Okay, that's the Hawaii Journalism Initiative. We'll be back after this. Steve Pike will be joining us. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
KORLYNI Honolulu. It's Aloha Power's week-long sale, and it is time to take a look at the old big box tools and see whether maybe they've been around a very long time and you're very attached to them, but maybe they're not doing quite as good as they did before. And right now, Maruyama is on sale, up to 25% off. Riding and walking mowers, chainsaws, whackers, trimmers, you name it, they got it. I should just say, and more. We have service, parts, and accessories for every rider, from home to commercial sized. You know, if you got a huge acreage that needs to be mowed, you're going to want to use that commercial sized one. Mow it, blow it, bag it, done. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458. And have more fun playing golf.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Well, first off, Steve Pike, travel writer, owner, editor, and blogger, Spikes Golf and Travel, Spikes Peaks, that's P-E-K-S, The Art of Travel, exploring the world of golf and travel for more than 33 years, defined golf business in the 1990s for Golf Week, Golf World, golf shop operations for the New York Times Magazine, and Golf Digest. Welcome into the clubhouse, Steve.
Hello, Danielle. How are you?
Good. Really good. Where's the most recent place you've just returned from, assuming you're at home?
That would be the Hang Point Club on Dufusky Island off of Hilton Head Island. Terrific private residential community on an island that is only available, only accessible through its through ferry service. So it's a lot of fun.
Wow. Well, what do you do on when you get to the island? Do they have hotels and hotels?
Well, it's a membership where there's obviously people live there. Some about 30-40% of the membership at Hang Point Club lives there year round. They have what's called the Strahan Mansion that has four rooms for guests, so you can stay there if you know the right people or if you want to buy some real estate, that sort of thing. And there's other people outside the gates at Hang Point that live on Dufusky Island, too. They take a separate ferry. But I'm not sure how many people live there, but it's a nice place to live.
Yeah, I bet. Now, give us an idea of what part of the planet we're on here.
Hilton Head Island, South Carolina.
Hilton Head. And where do I take the ferry from, and who do I get permission from to go there?
Well, you can take the ferry. There's a ferry that runs to Dufusky Island that's separate from a ferry that runs directly to Hang Point. If you're going to Hang Point, which is private, you can't play there. You can't stay at Hang Point unless you're a member or you're a friend of a member. Then you have your own ferry service, which is about a half hour from a parking lot on Hilton Head Island over to directly to the Hegg Point Landing.
Yeah, yeah. And so,
and then also, yeah. Also, you can take, once you're on Hegg Point, or once you're in Hegg Point, and you want to go, let's say, to Sea Pines, the ferry is only a 5-minute ride over to Sea Pines Resort.
So, when you were you invited to come to do a story on the? You have friends.
Yeah, no, the story will publish. Will post next week.
Next week in which magazine?
That will be for my Spike on Golf and Travel.com site. It will also be in GolfOneMedia.com and probably in some other websites and publications. I just don't know yet.
Wow, that's so exciting! But you know, this is Steve Pike, travel writer, freelance, owner, editor, blogger, Spike Golf and Travel, Spike's Peaks, The Art of Travel. Is it Spike's Golf on Travel or?
No, it's actually SpikeOnGolfAndTravel.com.
SpikeOnGolfAndTravel.com. See, you should have corrected me a long, long time ago.
Oh, that's okay.
Wow. See, Steve has had quite the life and it keeps going. He's ascended the Great Wall of China. He's dived Australia's Great Barrier Reef. He teed off in the Austrian Alps, shared single malt scotch with Sir Michael Bonalack at the Royal and Ancient
Bonalack,
thank you, at the Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St. Andrews, Scotland. And his golf partners have included Arnold Palmer, Nancy Lopez, rock star Alice Cooper, baseball legends Joe DiMaggio and George Brett, and singer-songwriter Jimmy Buffett. He's interviewed and profiled the likes of former President Donald Trump, Tiger Woods, Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, Jack Nicklaus, Olympic gold medalist Scott Hamilton. Do you have a book about all these things?
I don't. I actually don't. It's sort of, I don't think I'm disciplined enough to write a book.
You could do like one chapter at a time and then stick them all together.
That's possible, but then I'd have to take about a year off to do that.
Oh, that's a good point. You know, wow. Okay, I can't ask you who your favorite golf partner was. You know, who was the funniest person at the party in the golf world when you had golf partners that included Arnold Palmer and George Brett? And
the funniest. Well, that would be that's tough to say. None of them. I mean, they all take the game fairly seriously, so they're not really laughing a lot when they're out there playing.
Okay.
So that's a tough one. I'm not really sure I could tell you who that is. Mr. Palmer was always very nice and very cordial and probably took himself the least serious of any of them.
Exactly what I was thinking when I asked you the question. Arnold Palmer is a special person. He's just, boy, you know, when you're around Arnold Palmer, you feel like you've known him for his entire life.
That's true. He reminded me of that one time, probably the last time I saw him in 2014 at Bay Hill. I was checking into the lodge at Bay Hill, and he was standing there. And I went up and introduced myself to him again, and he looked at me, shook my hand, and said, "Well, Steve, how long have I known you?" And this, like I said, this is about 2014. I said, 25 years. And he goes, "And then what have I always told you to call me?" And I said, Arnold. And he said, "Yeah, you're damn right." And I just said, "Okay, Mr. Palmer."
So. I'm not surprised at all. I would have been in the same shape.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just, you know, he's got a sparkle in his eye. that I'll never
never
forget. And his sense of humor is really good. I just, what a wonderful person. All right. Now, here's something that I was curious about. I know I'm going to say the wrong. Tamarack Resort? Tamarack?
Tamarack Resort doesn't
ring a bell?
Doesn't light a bulb.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought this was something that you were a part of when, when the fire crews had to go in there and work on something at Tamarack Resort. I guess I don't know.
No, I never set any resort ablaze, and I'm not really familiar with Tamarack. Now I'm not really familiar with Tamarack.
Okay.
If you want to, we mentioned Sea Pines in Harbortown.
There we go.
Only a couple of minutes ago, and that's going to reopen again. Harbortown course, which holds a tour event, of course, in the spring. Davis Love III has renovated that course, and it will reopen again in about a month. That's the classic Pete Dye course at Harbortown, with the big red and white lighthouse and all of that. So Davis Love has renovated that, mostly underground, with all sorts of new irrigations and that sort of thing. But there's some things above ground, too. But that'll open in about 3 weeks. And in about 2 weeks, let's say, the new Grand Dunes course, which is at Jekyll Island, a couple hours south of Hilton Head, off of Interstate 95, is going to open again. And that's Walter Travis' original design from 1926-1927
wow.
that Brian Ross and Jeff Stein have done. And really brought it to what it looked like in 1927, which is amazing.
Wow. Was that the heyday of golf course architecture?
Pretty much. You could say that with the Seth Rainers and the Walter Travises and Donald Ross and the Alexander Finleys. Yeah, you can make that case. And I was talking last year with David McClay Kidd, who was making the case that we're right now in another sort of heyday of golf course design. And I'm certainly not going to argue with my friend David McClay Kidd about that. He's probably right in a way. And by the way, David's building the fourth course at Streamsong Resort down here in Central Florida that should open next year as well.
Is that Dunes land? Like, it feels like the Dunes.
It is Dunes land in a way. Streamsong is built on within an old phosphate pit.
Wow.
So you can essentially create all of these. The dunes were already there. The dunes and the phosphate were created from an ancient ocean. And if you look hard enough, you can still find shark's teeth.
Wow.
Kids take school trips there to find shark's teeth in that area, not necessarily at Streamsong, but in that Central Florida area. You can create those dunes. The dunes were already there, sort of, so all you've done is sort of reshape them and find the golf course within those dunes. I think the two courses that Tom Doak and the one that Corin Crenshaw did probably are the best examples of that. Gil Hans's course, which is called the Black Course, is a little bit different. It's a little bit more minimalistic. And so I'm anxious to see what David's done with his new course. I'm hoping to get out there in the next month or so when David is back there and maybe walk the lines with him on it.
Wow, that would be awesome. And then you have to come and tell us about it because,
David's one of my favorite people in golf. So.
Yeah, I bet. And how do you travel? Do you fly?
It depends. I fly. I drive. I'm doing a story now on a company that just established itself in down in Miami near the airport. It's called Road Surfer. They do. They have vans and campers that they're trying to promote and market for golf buddy trips.
Far
so you can almost take like a make a hippie van out of it and and travel all around wherever you want to go in these vans and in small campers as part of your golf buddy trip. They have them in the West right now. I think in Phoenix there's a they have a headquarters or they have a station out there in the West. I want to say it's Phoenix, but I might be wrong. But they just opened a company. It's the same company, but they just opened an operation here in South Florida for the same thing.
What is it called again?
Road Surfer.
Road Surfer.
Right.
Wow, that's a cool name. That's
yeah, and that's a story that is in the process of being written too.
All right, I can't wait to hear about that. TaylorMade Golf in the Grove, one of the more premium luxury resorts in Europe. Have you been there?
I have been to the Grove. I've not played the Grove, but I've been there. Yes, it's outside of London.
Yeah. Wow. Really?
It's in Hertfordshire. Yeah, it's a beautiful place. Essentially, what they want to do there is create the Kingdom Experience, which is what they have at Reynolds Lake Oconee,
okay,
which is outside of Athens, where people can go. You can stay on the property, and then you can get custom fit with TaylorMade clubs the same way they would outfit their tour players with clubs.
Ah, so that's where Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Charlie Hull, Tommy Fleetwood, they go down there, or they would if they wanted to.
Well, they go to the TaylorMade headquarters that they also have in Carlsbad, California.
Ah, yeah, so they've got two different places they can then drop
right.
in on.
Right, this will be a third place to do that at, yes.
Yeah, I like how they say, set in 300 acres of England's verdant Hertfordshire countryside, the Grove.
Right,
it's
pasture land.
Yes, it's managed by Troon, offers the ultimate five-star retreat. It's the former home of the Earls of Clarendon with a rich history.
I like that there, but that's in England. Something that's similar in a way up in Northern Ireland, not too far from Port Marnock, is called Galgorm. And Galgorm Resort is tremendous. It's got its golf course, and it's close to the Jameson Distillery, and it's got this huge spa and waterfalls that run through it with the river that runs through it, and cottages, and I think there's a treehouse there, I forget. But there's Galgorm is a Galgorm and the Grove are two great UK destinations.
Fantastic. You know what? We've darn run out of time. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Steve Pike, travel writer. He's the owner, editor, and he's a blogger. He's a Spikes Golf and Travel. And where can we find you if we want to find you?
Spike on golfandtravel.com.
There you go. Spike.
I also have X and on Facebook as well.
There you go. See, he's easy to find. You can. And you read all his stories. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thanks, Danielle.
Talk soon. Okay, we're going to go and take care of our the people who make this show possible. You know, without them, I wouldn't be on the air. We welcome the Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round or wind down after work. It's a good thing, you know, just get the club out, hit some balls, have a nice time, have a little beverageum with our, you know, all the things that you can do. It's the Newtown Range. I think you're going to have good golf, good food, and good fun when you're there, operated by Casey Nakama Golf Group. Yes, it's the Newtown Range. Good golf, good food, good fun. It's Aloha Power's week-long celebration. You got to get there because you're going to work smarter, you're going to work faster, you're going to work easier with our riding and walking mowers, chainsaws, whackers, and more. Mario Yama's on sale, up to 25% off. Get yours today. Aloha Power Equipment. They're open Monday through Saturday. Evie Lay next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever for self, health, friendship, and for your family. Go golf! Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional at the Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea Maui, and the Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks and shopping centers and businesses and hotels since 1939. And you know what? They can't find you. I can't find you. We can't find you without a sign. So you got to make sure that we are able to find you. Otherwise, you know, it's not going to be any fun. I want to thank all the people who came on the show today. Steve Pike and Robert Colias and Jonathan Wall and Matt Adams taking time out of their busy schedule. Just awesome. And, you know, First Tee, if you've got kids in the game, you should keep them in the game. And if you don't have kids in the game yet, you should get in touch with the First Tee, a youth development organization, not only teaching golf, but life skills, and helps kids and teens build strength of character and confidence. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. And my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.